Well, let's open our Bibles. If you're visiting with us, we like to start our lessons with John chapter 3. And we're going to read John chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, look on with your neighbor. John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. And this series of messages we've entitled Speak the Word Only. And this message today I've entitled You Shall Decree a Thing. And the other messages are available for download, or you can go in the store and just ask them for them, and they'll supply them for you. Everybody ready? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let's turn over to John 13 real quick, and let's read together verses 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now let's go over to James chapter 3 this morning. James chapter 3. And I want us to focus in on, well, we can start at verse 1. I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2. In many things we offend all. Look what it says. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And that means a perfect doesn't mean that we're faultless. It just means that we've come to a place of spiritual maturity. We miss it less and less, would be a better way of saying that. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Talking about a whole body again. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of great iniquity, or a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So we can see from that scripture verse, we can see as the bit is to the horse and the rudder is to the ship, which affects the whole thing. Our tongue is to us, to our body. So let me ask a question. Does that mean then that we could affect or change the direction of our lives? It appears so from the scripture. It appears that we could affect the direction of our life, just like the bit can affect the direction of that horse, and the rudder in that ship can change its direction, so can our tongue, or our words, if you put it more plainly, can change the direction of our life. So we could also say, in today's vernacular, that the tongue is like a steering wheel in a car. You could do the same thing. You could share it that way. That our tongue is like a steering wheel. The words are. So, is it true that our words are steering our lives? Well, I'm glad some of you agree, because the scripture says so. It says that it does. It steers our lives. So, as I was sharing, it would seem that most Christians, it would seem that way, that most Christians and people in general don't believe that. Because if they did, they wouldn't talk like they do. If they really believed, if they believed that their words were really affecting the direction of their life and what they were able to do and not do. If they did. Because sometimes what the scripture says, we're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, isn't it? We're to walk by faith and not by sight. So when we're walking by sight, we talk about those things that we see. But when we walk by faith, we speak of unseen things. We're to call those things that be not as though they were. In other words, we're to call those things that aren't seen yet. Which is really what we do when you say, well, I'm driving to Los Angeles. You ain't there yet. You haven't gotten there yet. You're calling something that you're going to do. You haven't seen it yet. You haven't gotten to Los Angeles, have you? No. And you're in New York, but you're calling it. You get on an airplane, you say, I'm going to the Bahamas. You're doing it by faith. And so we do it all the time. We call things that be not as though they were. You get money and you've already spent it. You don't have it yet, but you're decreeing a thing. Man, I'm going to take that $1,000 and I'm going to spend it on this, or whatever it is. It's $50 or could be a dollar. I'm getting this. You don't have it yet. You're decreeing it. And if you're led by your senses and your flesh, you're going to decree something that may not necessarily be what you need or want. You just, I'm going to get this. See? And so we need to be conscious of the words that we speak. And so we have, and this ministry has been founded on that. What we say, what we confess is important. So we can say then, we can control, or let me ask another. I asked this Wednesday. Can we control habits, addictions, things that affect us in that way? Can we control that with our words? See, if that was the case, then why are people calling up and asking for, I just can't get rid of this. I'm stuck. I can't get rid of this. I have this thing. I get upset every time they do that. They bother me. Really? They just annoy me. Really? We speak in present tense. See, it'd be different if you said they annoyed me, past tense, but I love them. See, that's a different thing. You're establishing something when you speak in present tense. You're beginning to decree something over your life when you say things like that. My wife is always doing this, and it bugs me. Really? Always? Uh-huh. My husband does this, and it just really gets on my nerves. Really? Uh-huh. So you begin to establish something, so everything that it happens, we establish. Is that God's will that your husband and wife annoy you? Is it God's will that you lack in your life? Is it God's will that you always get the flu around March? I see. Or get a cold around June? No. He said that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And everything you set your hands to, you prosper. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you start to decree something contrary to the will of God. Whose words are going to be established? God's will or what you decree? It won't be God's will, I'll assure you of that. It'll be what you've decided, what you decree. Because God has made us like Him. And so we are a spirit being, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And so we are spirits like God. John says God is a spirit. So are we. And He's made us to have a free will and a free choice. And what we decree like God is established. Now, we're not speaking worlds into existence, but we're changing things in our world with the words that we speak. And so I'm becoming more conscious when we start saying, man, I'm going to hurt myself on this meal. I'm going to eat so much. Really? I know I shouldn't eat this, but so why are you eating it? I mean, it seems silly, but it's not silly. It's serious. And God is holding us accountable because He says in Matthew, He said, by your words you shall be justified, in Matthew 12, and by your words you'll be condemned. So, you know, I don't know why it's set up this way. God set it up that way. And He made us in His image and likeness, and He's given us some rules to follow. And that's how it works. That if we decree things contrary to God's will, He can't make it happen. He has to honor our words. Because if that was the case, He could just decree, everybody's in heaven, they don't need to confess me. And it'd be done. But He didn't set it up that way. He said, you have to confess me and believe in my heart, and then you'll be saved. So He set it up that way. He set the system up, the process up that way. This is in the New International Version, verse 2. It says, and James 3, verse 2 in the New International, it says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. This is the Good News Translation. All of us often make mistakes, but if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect and is also able to control his whole being. This is the New Living Translation. says, we all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If we can control our tongues, then we can control our lives in every other way. We can control our life. We can control our habits. We can control things that appear to be an addiction. Somebody could be addicted to food, and you say, I can't, I have to have this. Well, you can change that with your words. You can change habits with your words. You might be addicted to work. You can change that. You can begin to change your life with your words. And sometimes people think that, you know, I decree a thing and because I'm still struggling with it, that it's not working. Oh no, it's working. What you say is working. You continue to decree it and say it even while you're struggling with it. Because faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Also comes by you hearing your own words. And at some point, when you continue to decree, I'm free from this. I don't have desire for food like I used to. I'm free from this. I'm not in bondage to food. You may still be hunkering down. You may still piling it on. You keep saying it. Every time you put that fork to your mouth, you say, I'm delivered from this food. Now that seems foolish to the world, but you'll get your deliverance. Because your tongue will change your appetite and change the direction for your life. And it'll happen. You'll get to the place you go, nah, I can't eat this. Give me a half a plate instead of two. No, I'm just telling you the truth. You know, for you laugh, but for somebody who's struggling, it's not funny. It's a struggle. And so somebody may be really struggling with something. Whatever that is, you decree it and you pronounce your destiny. You decree it. Because God has called you free. You have been delivered, he said. And see, that's what you're doing. Colossians says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. So anything that holds you in bondage is darkness. But see, when you say something contrary to that, you've given the devil and your appetites license to control, not God. And when we decree his word and we say, I'm free from this, it shall be established. Because his word is forever settled in heaven. And it will change the direction for my life. And so I ask the question, what are we decreeing in this new year? What is it you desire? What change do you want? You need to start decreeing it. You need to start saying it. We're not subject to the conditions of this world. We are not subject to the conditions and whims of a government. We are subjects and disciples of God. And we are subjects and disciples of another kingdom. And those kingdom principles reign if you let them. And so I would just share, you sit down and evaluate what changes you desire. And don't be quick to just rattle off and say, well, I'm going to do this, pop, pop, pop. What you say in faith will be established. Because in Mark 11, 22, it says, have faith in God. And some of the translations say, have the faith of God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things or those things that you're saying shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Now, it's always a good thing that we listen for God's direction and we decree what he gives us direction on. That's a sure thing. Hallelujah. But if we continue to talk and say things based on our feelings and based on what we see, that's not a good place to be. Because the scripture says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. What we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, our senses, what we feel. We're not to be driven by that or motivated by that. We're to be motivated by God's direction. I am a king under a king. We are priests under a high priest, and his name is Jesus. And so I live by different rules, different principles. And I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I'm not under his control anymore. I'm under God's control. And so my words should be different. Because even Jesus said, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Some of you need to see that again. Let's go over to John for a second. Keep your finger there. Let's go over to John 14. What did he say? In verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me the works, see, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because what? I go unto my Father. We're supposed to do the same thing Jesus did and greater works. Now, let's jump back. Go to Matthew. So we're backing up here. Go to Matthew 21. Which is the same thing that's shared in Mark 11, 22 and 23. Matthew 21, 21. What did he say? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do to this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. The same thing that Jesus did. He spoke to the fig tree and cursed it. He said, if you had faith, you could do the same thing. Well, that's just what he got done saying in John 14. He said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works. So, but you can see that throughout Jesus' ministry, what did he do? He used words. He spoke to things. What did he do? He spoke to dead body. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves. He spoke to the devil. And he quoted and spoke the word of God. Let's go back to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Talking about our decreeing a thing. Luke 4, look at verse 38. Luke 4 and verse 38. says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and did what? He rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto her. Good News Translation says, he went and stood at her bedside and ordered the fever to leave her. I like that. He ordered it to leave. And God's Word Translation says, he bent over her, ordered the fever to leave, and it went away. He ordered it. Most people today, what do they do when they have a fever? Get a Tylenol. Get the Bayer. Are they ordering the fever to leave? No, because you've been conditioned to the way the world thinks. You're thinking like the world. You think, you fear. Well, what if it goes to here? She had a great fever. Not just a fever, a great fever. And he stood over her and ordered it to leave. How many are doing that? I don't need to see your hands. This is a time to reflect. What is it that you want to change in 2013? What are you tolerating? What are you allowing in your life to be? Order it to change. Amen. Well, I don't know about that. Well, then guess what? It won't be for you. Amen. Because Jesus said that you can have what you say. He said, have the faith of God. If you say and doubt not, but believe the things that you say, you shall have it. And so those things that seem foolish to you, if you don't change that and change your thinking, then you'll never have it. You'll never reach that place. Well, I can't go because I'm on a restricted income. I'm on welfare. I can't do that. Really? I'm on Social Security, so I can't do this. I see. So you are being bound and held in bondage and restricted by what the government gives you. I see. But you don't have to be. Amen. We need to change. Now, I'm not here to tell you that it will change overnight, but faith will change what you have and what you can do. If your mind thinks that you're restricted by your Social Security check, then you will be. Amen. If your mind thinks you're restricted and you'll never be able to do this, then you will be. Amen. But God said in His Word, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All means all. And that means that we need to change our thinking, and God is looking for a people who will do great exploits, phenomenal exploits. Is it so unusual? One idea, one witty idea from God could make you multiple millions. But you're stuck with your Social Security check and your limited income. Mercy. See? You need to start confessing something different. You need to start saying something different if you want something different. If you want something different, then you have to say something different. And we're all there. We all want something different. We all want change in our life. There are all, every one of us have things that, well, we're just, I don't like this. Okay, do something about it. You are a God in the earth, made in God's image and likeness. Why are you thinking like I can't when you are made in God's image and likeness? And you have the ability, the wherewithal with your words to change something. Amen. So why you think small?
Amen.
Think big.
Yes.
Dream big.
Yes.
Talk big. Because if you don't, you'll live right where you are and you'll complain and murmur about it the rest of your life. I'll tell you, when God prompted me to start speaking to that property, that mall next door, I'm going to tell you my first reaction. I thought, yeah, right. It seems silly to me in the natural. But I realized, I said, now wait a minute. That was the Holy Ghost. That was God speaking to me. And I'm going to say it. And I didn't feel a thing. And when I'd say it, my mind would say, this is crazy. I said it anyways. Because God told me to say it. And I don't have to bring it to pass. He does. I don't have to make it happen. All he's looking for is a willing participant in this earth to release words in faith so he can do it. Same thing in your life. He's looking for a willing participant in you to decree a thing so he can do something in your life. Change it. Make it better. And he will, if we will. God is good. Let's go over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. You know, I say this sometimes almost, I guess maybe the word jokingly is not the right word. I say it, and it shouldn't be. We, the body of Christ, should be the example to the world of how healthy people should be. We, the body of Christ, should be the example to the world how prosperous they can be. But we're not in all cases. Because we think a certain way. We've been trained by the world to think a certain way. And we have to renew our minds. And that word renew, well, it means to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so we can do what? Prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. That word transform means metamorphize. It means metamorpho. It just means to be transfigured. That's what that means, transfigured. And I've shared this in a past lesson. You can look it up for yourself. I've shared it before. There was a group of people in Africa back in the 30s. You can look it up online for yourself. They were called the Shining Ones. This was back in very early 30s. This group, it was a small tribe. They were called the Shining Ones. You can look it up online. Just look up the Shining Ones. You'll trace, follow it out. You'll find the information. But this small tribe began to shine. Now, that would be unusual if you were a person of color and in Africa, dark. And to shine would be very unusual. But they shined. And they began to be transfigured like Jesus. Because when Jesus said, the things that I do, you'll do also, he also meant being transfigured. And you go, yeah, right. Then it won't be for you. But he shared in this story that these people began to change as a group. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of years. See, that's how faith works. It works over time, and faith over time. But these people began to pray every day. They began to confess and repent of their sins. Littlest thing. They in the story, they said, just the littlest thing. They'd go and they'd repent, ask forgiveness among one another. And they began to change and shine. So much so that their skin shined. That's what they talk about in the story. Their skins shined. Just like Jesus. And so we underestimate sometimes. We read it, but we really sometimes we don't really grasp the power of God's word.
Amen.
Because it will transfigure you.
Amen.
The power of God's word. And your words spoken in faith will change something.
Amen.
Death and life is in the power of the tongue. God, when he spoke, he didn't speak just to comment on something or remark about something. He spoke to change it.
Hallelujah.
And establish something. Did he not?
Yes.
Did you get to Proverbs 18?
Yes.
It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whose tongue? My tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you want to have increase and abundance, it doesn't start with your bank account. It starts in your mouth. If you want abundance and increase in your bank account, it starts with your lips. If you want abundance and abundance of health in your body, it starts with your lips. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We need to decree and prophesy what it is God's word says. The complete Jewish Bible says in verse 20, a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With what his lips produce, he will be filled. That's pretty plain. With what our lips produce, we will be filled. That means if your lips are full of lack, that's what you're going to be filled with. If your lips are full of, I'm sick all the time, that's what you're going to be filled with. If your mouth is filled with death, filled words, that's what you will have. And God doesn't desire that. That's not his desire. And unfortunately, when people's minds aren't renewed, a lot of times they blame God for their circumstances. Or they wring their hands. God, why don't you change this? Why aren't you changing this? This thing has always happened. Well, there it is. He has to honor what you say. He's bound by your words. I believe, doesn't it say in Matthew 18? Let's turn there so we can all see it. Let's go to Matthew 18 for a second. I know some of you would like it to be that God just hears anything and changes it. But it doesn't work that way. Matthew 18:18, it says, "Verily I say unto you," who's speaking? Jesus. He said, "Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." See, isn't it interesting? It doesn't say, "Whatever's bound in heaven shall be bound in earth." He didn't say it there, did he?
No.
He said, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." You are the determining factor in what God responds to. If you're saying what he says, that's a good thing. Then he's obligated to do what you said. But what you said is what he said. Ah. But if you say what he didn't say, he's still obligated to do that. Because whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Let's turn over to, and just these few minutes here, let's turn over to Job. Job 22:28. Job 22:28. Says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." Now, let me read this in the New Century Version. It says, "Anything you decide will be done, and the light will shine on your ways." This is the English Standard Version. It says, "You will decide on a matter, and it will be established for you." Who's deciding? You will. You decide on the matter. New International Version, it says, "What you decide on will be done." What you decide on will be done. What God does in your life, what the Lord creates in your life, is not just what he said, but the fruit of your lips. That's what he's going to establish. He's going to you decree it, and it's established. It shall be established unto thee. And that word, when you look up, when you say decree a thing, when you look it up, in the concordance, in this case it would be Hebrew, it means a speech, a word, a saying, a promise, a command. Whatever you decree, whatever command, you decree a command, you decree a word, you decree a saying, it shall be established unto thee. That word established means to rise up, to be established, to be confirmed. It's confirmed. It's established. Because you decreed it. You loosed it. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, what is it you want loosed? See, there's some things we need to bind up. We need to forbid. That word bind means to forbid. What is it you need to forbid in this earth? What is it you need to loose in this earth? It's going to be you that does it. And that's why it's so important. We shall take this land that's adjacent to us because he has said so. He promised it. And he said, "You shall take the Sears building," and that whole property, the Nanuet Mall, they call it the Shops of Nanuet, doesn't really matter what they call it. God said, "I'm going to give that to you as a spoil." Now, I don't have to try to figure out how he's going to do that. All he needs is us to decree it, and it shall be established. That's all he's looking for. That's all he's looking for. If he gives you a plan, you decree that plan. I don't care how big it is or how small it is, you decree it. If it's for a dollar, you decree it. If it's for $50 million, you decree it, because he said so. And I'm going to decree what he says. And it shall be established. Hallelujah. And that's why I believe the Holy Ghost has shared that word with me this morning. When the Creator manifests, the created needs to respond. When the Creator gives direction, it's right. It's just. It's good. And when he tells us something, the created needs to respond by saying what he said. And it shall be good for us. See? And when you think about it, oh, I just had a revelation. I looked at the clock. I didn't realize it was that late. Wow. And neither did you until I told you. So don't unhook. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you're good listeners. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's hook up with things in 2013. God is saying some things, and he's revealing things to us individually and corporately. And so my charge, my saying to you is, what is it we want changed? What is it we need to do? What is it we want to do in this year? We need to decree it so it can be established. And whatever it is, how silly it may seem, if you don't decree it, it shall not be established. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. I'm gonna unhook for a moment. Amen. Now I hope you receive this in your heart, and not just give it what, as I say, lip service, but say, I'm going to change that. I'm going to start decreeing this over this situation, and it's going to change. And it may seem like it's absolutely, totally impossible. Hey, when I first started to speak to that property over there, it seemed really impossible. But God is going to do it. And the interesting thing is, you see, and I'm going to play this prophecy again that was spoken by Dr. Fred Price when he was here in 1990. Because some of you need to hear it again. Some of you who haven't heard it need to hear it. And the Holy Ghost for at least 2 years kept prompting me, get that prophecy out, get that prophecy out, get that prophecy. And you know how we get busy. And finally I just spoke to somebody and I said, please get that prophecy out for me. And I gave him the date. And I said, I think it's in 1990. And they pulled it out and my mouth hit the floor when I heard it. Because I said, oh, that's what you're trying to say. Thank you. In that prophecy, Dr. Price, who now is Apostle Price, said, now we had just moved into this building. All the work, all that was done, we just moved in. We've only been in the building 5 years. And he starts and said, I hate to tell you, but you're not going to stay here. And Pastor Sarah said at the time, I wanted to hit him. Because all the effort, all the work, everything that you stretched and did to get in. Now he's saying, you ain't going to stay here. You're not staying here. And he, you know, in that prophecy said, well, you need to take pictures to remember what it looked like because you're not staying here. We're not staying here. Why? Because God said so. And he also said in that prophecy, this is what he said, you can stay here if you want, but I won't be in it. I'm going to go where he goes. I'm going to follow the cloud of glory. I'm going to follow him because wherever he leads us, it's a good land. Filled with milk and honey and flowing with goodness. I'm going there. Not where I think we should be. Because we can get real cushy here, you know, everything's nice, cushy, and you miss God. No, we're going to move. When? I don't know. But see, he's been making it plain for us that this isn't our final place. He's got something bigger. See, this building is 100,000 square feet, roughly. That building over there is about 170,000 square feet. Bigger. Better. Why? Because he's got more people that he wants to bring to help. And what was the word that the Lord gave through Pastor Judy on Friday? She was talking about what we pick up and spoil, we're to share. See, we're not to hoard the good things of God. We're to share. We're to bless. We're to deliver, to help. That's our commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those that believe will be saved. Those that don't will be damned. And then we're to do what? These signs will follow us. To do what? Help. Share the goodness of God. So it's not to just sit here and get cushy, but it's to lift the burden off of this world's lives. It's to help. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to use our faith to go to a better place. And you should be using your faith to go to a better place in your life. Not just for the stuff, but so you can be a blessing to someone. Wouldn't it be great to dream? I dream like this. You should. Dream where you have so much money that you don't even think about it. You can just write a check as big as you want, as often as you want, and you don't even think about it. You don't even think about the bank account. You just say, oh, $100,000? Okay, write it out. See, and if that seems foolish to you, then you'll never have it because you need to dream like that. You need to think like that so that you can walk into that place. And see, sometimes we don't because we look at, well, I'm me. See, I can't have that. Really? Okay, I live here. I'm this culture. I'm this ethnicity. I'm this educated. I can never have that. Why? God didn't say that. He didn't say that about you. He said, you are my rightness. He said, you are my righteousness. You're part of me. You're made like me. Think big, dream big, so that you can help people. That's what we're to do. Amen? That's my desire and goal in life. Not just to have something, but what's the point? That's dead. You have something to be an outflow. You flow out of you. And if you don't have the money, let the gospel that's in you flow out of you. Let the goodness of God flow out of you. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness to us. Oh God, we change our thinking. We change our minds. We change the direction of our lives, Father. Forgive us for thinking so small of ourselves when we're made in your image and likeness. For you've made us your righteousness. And so, Father, we thank you. We seek you. We want more of you. We want to think like you, act like you, talk like you, walk like you, so we can bless and help people in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.